Ever notice how it's way harder to lose weight like the second or third time around? Or how some folks just like gain weight easier than others, even if they're eating kind of the same stuff?
Right.
Well, get this. There's new research and it might explain why.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it all comes down to this fascinating thing called obesogenic memory.
Obesogenic memory. Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more.
Basically, it means our bodies, specifically our fat cells, might actually be holding on to like a memory of past obesity, even after we've lost weight. And this memory can like influence how our bodies respond to future weight changes. It makes it tougher to keep the weight off long term, you know?
So it's like our bodies are working against us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when we're trying to be healthy, it's kind of scary, actually.
It is a really complex issue, and scientists are only just starting to unravel all the mysteries behind it. But there is a groundbreaking study. It was published in the journal Nature, and it sheds some light on this whole phenomenon.
This is exactly the kind of deep dive I signed up for. Let's get into it.
Okay, so the researchers used both human and mouse models to investigate this whole concept of obesogenic memory, which makes their findings even more compelling.
Okay, so let's start with the human studies. Like, what did they actually do?
Okay, so they focused on people who had undergone bariatric surgery for weight loss. They took fat tissue samples from these individuals 2 years after their surgery.
2 years, wow.
Yeah, that's a significant amount of time for the body to kind of adjust to the weight loss.
Right, so these people had lost a significant amount of weight and kept it off for a while, for a decent amount of time. What did they find?
Okay, well, they compared those samples to fat tissue from people who had always been lean, and what they discovered was actually pretty striking. Even 2 years after surgery, the fat cells of those who were formerly obese, they still showed differences compared to those who had never been obese.
Wait, so even though they had lost weight, something was still like fundamentally different.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like obesity leaves a lasting imprint,
Yeah.
a cellular echo of a previous state. And this echo can influence how the body responds to changes in weight.
Okay, so what kind of differences are we talking about? I mean, were their fat cells just like bigger or
It's
something?
not just about the size of the fat cells. The researchers looked at gene expression within those cells and found some distinct differences.
Hold on. Quick reminder for our listeners, what's gene expression again?
Okay, so think of your genes like a cookbook, right?
Okay.
And epigenetics are like those little sticky notes telling you which recipes to use.
I like that.
Yeah, so obesity can leave behind these sticky notes, making your body more likely to, cook up more fat.
Okay, I'm with you. So what recipes were these formerly obese folks' fat cells using?
Right, so the differences in gene expression were especially noticeable in three key players within the fat tissue. First, the adipocytes.
Right, the little storage units for fat in our bodies.
Exactly, yeah. Then there are the adipocyte progenitor cells. Think of these as like baby fat cells waiting in the wings. They have the potential to become mature fat cells.
Interesting. What was the third type of cell?
Endothelial cells.
Okay.
They line the blood vessels in fat tissue.
Oh, okay.
And they're crucial for transporting nutrients and other substances in and out of the fat.
So basically, obesity was leaving its mark on like all the key players in the fat tissue
Right.
and making them behave differently even after weight loss.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what about the mouse studies? Did they find anything similar?
Yeah, the mouse studies actually provided even more evidence for this whole concept of obesogenic memory. They put mice on a high-fat diet to induce obesity, and then they switched them back to a normal diet to, help them lose weight.
So kind of like a crash diet, then back to normal eating.
Yeah, you could say that. And they found very similar changes in the gene expression of the mice's fat tissue, even after they had slimmed back down.
So just like the human studies, the mice's bodies seem to like remember a time of being heavier, almost like their cells were holding a grudge.
Yeah.
But how does this memory actually work?
Okay, that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
It's not about changes to the actual DNA sequence itself. Instead, it has to do with the epigenome,
Okay.
which are chemical modifications to the DNA that control which genes are turned on or off.
So you're saying it's not just about the genes themselves, but about like how they're used? That's pretty mind-blowing.
Precisely. You see, that inflammation acts like a distress signal, causing your fat cells to behave differently and even changing how your DNA is read.
Wow. Okay. So Our experiences can actually leave a lasting impact on how our genes function, even if we change our lifestyle.
Exactly. The researchers looked at specific epigenetic marks on the DNA in those mouse fat cells and found that some of these marks persisted even after weight loss.
Wow.
This suggests that there's a long-term epigenetic memory of obesity encoded in the cells themselves.
So it's not just about willpower or making healthy choices. Our bodies are literally fighting against us at a cellular level. No wonder it's so hard for some people to keep weight off long term. It's almost like we're battling our own biology.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it explains why traditional weight loss approaches often fall short.
Okay, so we've got this obesogenic memory lurking in our cells. What does that actually mean for people trying to lose weight? Does it mean we're like doomed to fail?
Not at all. Understanding this whole obesogenic memory thing, it's actually a huge step forward. It lets us start asking the right questions, you know,
yeah.
And explore like potential interventions that go beyond just counting calories or hitting the gym.
So knowledge is power, even if it's a little unsettling.
Absolutely. Now, to answer your question about what this means for people trying to lose weight, Let's go back to those mouse studies. Remember how they put the mice on a high-fat diet, then a normal one, and then back on high-fat?
Right. The dietary yo-yo. Kind of brutal for those mice, but I mean, relatable, right, for a lot of us humans.
Exactly. Well, the mice that had been obese before, even though they lost the weight, they gained it back way faster than the mice that had never been obese.
Oh, I knew it. So even if we like manage to lose weight, our bodies are just like primed to put it right back on.
It does seem that way. And that's not all. They also found that these formerly obese mice, they didn't just gain weight quicker. They also tended to store more fat in their abdominal area, you know, that visceral fat that's linked to heart disease and all those metabolic issues.
So not just more fat, but like fat stored in a more dangerous way. This obesogenic memory is starting to sound like a real villain here.
It's certainly a challenge. And they found another concerning thing. Remember we talked about glucose tolerance, how well the body processes sugar.
Right.
Well, even though these mice had lost weight and their glucose tolerance seemed to have improved, when they went back on the high-fat diet, their blood sugar control totally went haywire.
So it's like a hidden vulnerability just lurking there, and it only shows up when their metabolism is stressed again. Yikes.
A good way to put it, yeah. This all really shows why it's so important to understand how obesogenic memory works. If we can get that, then we can figure out how to like disrupt it.
Okay, so let's get into that. How does this obesogenic memory actually get like established in the first place? What's happening at the cellular level?
It's a fascinating mix of different factors, but one of the key players is inflammation. When you're carrying extra weight, there's this chronic low-grade inflammation happening in your fat tissue.
Right. I've heard that inflammation is linked to all sorts of health problems.
Exactly. And when it comes to obesogenic memory, it seems that inflammation acts like this distress signal, you know, Triggering changes in how fat cells behave and even in their whole environment.
Okay, so inflammation is like the spark that sets off this whole chain reaction.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
And it's not just a temporary thing. This inflammation can lead to really lasting changes in gene expression, those epigenetic modifications we talked about earlier. It's like the inflammation is writing those memories into the very cells themselves.
So how does inflammation actually change how our genes are used?
Well, one of the main pathways involved is called the TGF-beta signaling pathway. This pathway is involved in a ton of cellular processes, everything from growth and development to even the formation of scar tissue.
Scar tissue? In fat? Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, when we're talking about obesity, this TGF-beta pathway can contribute to fibrosis. That's basically when you get this excessive buildup of connective tissue within the fat tissue.
So it's like the fat is getting stiff and less flexible, kind of like scar tissue.
Exactly. And this fibrosis messes up the normal function of fat cells, makes it harder for them to respond properly to signals from the body, like the ones for insulin sensitivity, how well you use glucose, all that.
So it's this vicious cycle. Obesity leads to inflammation, which triggers fibrosis, which then makes the fat cells work even worse. And even if you lose weight, those epigenetic changes from the inflammation and fibrosis, they can still be there, making it easier to gain the weight back. This is making sense now, but it's kind of disheartening.
It is complex, but understanding these mechanisms gives us targets for possible interventions. Remember those adipocyte progenitor cells? The baby fat cells just waiting around.
Right.
Well, the research suggests that in mice with this obesogenic memory, even after they lost weight, these progenitor cells were like primed to become fat cells more easily than in mice that had never been obese.
So even if you get rid of the fat cells you have, there's this whole backup supply ready to take their place. It's like your body's trying to defend itself against weight loss, holding on to those cellular memories, getting ready for the next time it might need to store more fat.
It's a fascinating adaptation, yeah. But one that doesn't really help us in today's world where food's so plentiful.
Okay, so we've talked about inflammation, fibrosis, these overeager progenitor cells. What other insights did the researchers find about how this obesogenic memory works?
Another area they looked at is the role of the immune system. You see, fat tissue isn't just this passive energy storehouse. It's actually full of immune cells that are really important for regulating inflammation and other processes in the fat.
Wait, my fat has an immune system?
Well, not exactly its own, but it does have all these immune cells in it. And these cells can either help or hurt our efforts to stay at a healthy weight. The research suggests that obesity can really mess up the balance of these immune cells, leading to that chronic inflammation we've been talking about, which then contributes to those long-lasting epigenetic changes.
So it's like the immune system in our fat is stuck in like fight mode all the time.
That's a great way to put it. And even after you lose weight, this messed up immune system can stick around, making it harder to control those inflammatory processes.
This is getting pretty complex. Are there like certain types of immune cells that are especially problematic?
One that really stood out in the study was macrophages. They're a type of white blood cell that usually helps to clean up debris and fight off infections. Kind of like those little Pac-Man gobbling up the bad stuff.
I love that analogy.
But when someone has obesity, macrophages can get overactivated and actually contribute to the inflammation and damage in the tissue, like well-intentioned Pac-Man that went rogue. And the researchers found that even after the mice lost weight, certain types of these macrophages were still hanging out in their fat tissue, possibly keeping those inflammatory processes going.
So another layer of cellular memory, but this time it involves the immune system.
Exactly. And this makes us think that maybe targeting these specific immune cells could be a way to break down obesogenic memory. It's like sending in a special ops team to calm down those rogue macrophages.
Okay, so we've got inflammation, fibrosis, these eager to differentiate progenitor cells, and a dysregulated immune system. All of this is painting a pretty bleak picture. Is there anything we can do to fight this obesogenic memory?
The good news is that researchers are working on a few promising avenues.
Okay, give us some hope here.
Remember how we talked about those epigenetic modifications being like sticky notes on our DNA? What if we could come up with therapies that could, in a way, peel off those sticky notes, essentially rewriting those cellular memories?
Whoa, like a cellular memory eraser. That sounds like something straight out of a sci-fi movie.
It might sound futuristic, but it's exactly what the field of epigenetics is looking into. And it's not just sci-fi. There are already some medications out there used for other conditions that have shown some potential for affecting epigenetic processes.
Interesting. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, for example, some of the medications that are used to treat diabetes or high blood pressure, they've shown some promising results, at least in animal studies. They seem to be influencing those molecular pathways that we talked about, the ones involved in inflammation and fibrosis.
So it's like those medications are kind of a roundabout way of tackling this obesogenic memory thing. We're basically hitting those pathways from different angles.
Exactly. And there's actually a lot of research going on right now to develop new drugs that specifically target the pathways involved in obesogenic memory.
It's kind of amazing to think that, like, one day we might have medications that can actually, like, help reprogram our biology.
Right.
And make it easier to lose weight and keep it off. But what about things we can do, like, right now? Can diet and exercise help at all with this?
Absolutely. While we're waiting for those targeted therapies, lifestyle changes are still super important. Remember those epigenetic modifications, the sticky notes?
Yeah.
Turns out, diet and exercise can actually affect which notes stick around and which ones get, like, peeled off.
So all that talk about healthy eating and exercise, it isn't just hype. It can actually make a difference at the cellular level.
Exactly. We have to shift our thinking, you know?
Yep.
It's not just about diet and exercise for weight loss. It's about them being powerful ways to influence our biology and maybe even rewrite those cellular memories.
I like that. So it's not just about fighting the scale. It's about working with our bodies to make a healthier environment inside.
Exactly. And there's some exciting early research suggesting that certain ways of eating might be especially helpful. For example, diets that focus on anti-inflammatory foods, you know, like lots of fruits and veggies, omega-3 fatty acids, those might be really good for influencing those molecular pathways link to obesogenic memory.
So loading up on salmon and blueberries is a good plan after all, maybe.
It definitely can't hurt. And there's also a lot more research coming out about time-restricted feeding, basically limiting the time you eat during the day. Some studies suggest that can have good effects on metabolic health and might even affect those epigenetic modifications we've been talking about.
So, sounds like we've got a lot we can do with our everyday choices to take charge of our health and maybe even lessen some of those lingering effects of obesogenic memory.
Absolutely. It's empowering to know that we have more control than we might think.
This whole conversation's really made me think differently about how I approach my own health. You know, it's eye-opening to think that our bodies could be carrying around these cellular memories, but it's also encouraging to know that we're not totally powerless against them.
Yeah, I agree. It's a real shift in how we think about obesity and weight loss.
Speaking of shifts, let's talk bigger picture for a minute. What does this whole concept of obesogenic memory mean for how we deal with obesity as a society?
Well, it really challenges that old idea of obesity being just a matter of willpower or personal responsibility.
Right.
This research shows us that there are powerful things happening in our biology, things that are often outside of our control.
Yeah, it makes you realize that judging people for their weight isn't just unkind, it's also totally missing the point.
Exactly. Understanding this should lead to more empathy and less judgment for people who are struggling with their weight.
So instead of blaming people for their weight, we should be focusing on giving them the support and the resources they need to address those underlying biological factors.
Absolutely. It shows us how much we need a more well-rounded approach to treating and preventing obesity, one that considers all these complex things together: genetics, epigenetics, lifestyle, and environmental factors.
Wow, we've really covered a lot in this deep dive. From those fascinating mouse studies to all the complexities of gene expression and the potential for epigenetic therapies, this has been quite a journey.
It really has. A great exploration of a complex and always changing field.
Before we wrap up, any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
I think the biggest takeaway is that while obesogenic memory is a big challenge, it's not impossible to overcome. Research is constantly opening up new and better ways to intervene, and even making small changes to your lifestyle can have a real impact. The more we understand about this fascinating phenomenon, the better we'll be able to support people on their path to reaching and maintaining a healthy weight.
This has definitely given us all a lot to think about. It's amazing to think about the possibility of actually rewriting those cellular memories. Who knows what other parts of our health we might be able to change in the future. That's something for our listeners to ponder as they go about their day. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Deep Dive.